are on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, all the way at the bottom of the page, at the bottom two dots. Amar Yehuda, Amru Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, yeah? Okay. So, let's just make sure we know what we're talking about. So Rabbi Yehuda said, yeah. So they asked the in the beginning of our Mishnah, right? So we asked this question about the woman who has nechassim that fall to her before she gets in, before she has a nisuin, etc. And then what happens after she has nisuin? And a machlok b'sal b'shaim agree when it's before nisuin, that machlok is when it's after, etc. Erisin agree after, etc. And then we start to have questions. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the Chacham said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, I don't get it. If the husband has married her, so he should be Zocha in her Nechasim also. So like, what's even like the Havamina? How could it be that they have Erisin or they have Nisuin? There's different stages here. But if had Erisin, and that somehow you're not going to allow him to, you're allowing her to do business with the nechsim you love, with this property. So the Gemara asked the question. What's he talking about? Right, is he talking about the psak which has said that if she gets these items after Erisin, if she sold it, okay, it's sold already, right? Which would be, a bit of a question that once it happened, right, we allowed the sale to go through, or is he frustrated even with the initial point that if it's after Erisin, she should not sell it in the first place, right? So is the concern alechachila concern that you're allowing her to sell in the first place, or is the b'diavad concern that allow the sale to go through? So Tashma. So says the Gemara, bring your proof. What's the proof? This on it, following Brisa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. We're going to see so many cases with the Brisas and Tosafot that are quote this back and forth. So they said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, Ho v'zu ishto, zu mecher batel, af zu mecher batel. So they said in front of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says they said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, I understand. In both cases, this is his wife. Look at Rashi. Tashma Amru Rabbi Yehuda. Ho v'zu ishto nesua. V'zu ishto arusa. Right? Meaning we're comparing the two different cases. Meaning if someone has done erisin, are they married? Yeah, we'd say ishto, married. Right? If she's mizana, for example, she's a chavisa. Right? So like, they're both married, erisin and yisuin. Zu ishto v'zu ishto. Right? Look at Rashi. Ma nesua naflu la misha nises machra batel. Kidikatani mas nisin haba mozi, etc. So afzu shenafulah kashi arusa yehi mechra batel afilah kashi oda arusa, right? So meaning just like in the case of disuin when they're married, the mechra is null and void. The mechra is null and void. So too when it comes to arusin, the same thing should be true. So fine. So what do you notice already? By the way, the shal is mechra batel, right? The sale is void. So meaning we're talking about b'diavad. I'm talking about at this point, it sounds like the Bryce is talking about when the sale, that the question is whether the sale was valid or not in the end, not whether she's allowed to sell it or not. Right, so we'll see as we move along. So Amalehen, so he responds to them, Alachadosh, we're going to see this line over and over again. Alachadosh, what do you mean? On the new case, we're already embarrassed. Elashatem, Megalgam, Malenu, Es Hayashonim. And you're already giving me a hard time about the previous case. Shmamina, the Eved Ka'amar Shmamina. So, but the point is what we mentioned just a second ago, right? The point is, what do you see? They're talking about. They're talking about b'di'evet. Talking about whether the sale is a sale or a sale is not a sale. The question is not whether we allow her to do the sale. Meaning, we allow her to do business in the first place, right? The question is whether once she did it, is the sale batel or not, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that he said that Machlokas was about whether the sale is batel or not, you see that at least from this brisa, which is, sounds like the same exact conversation that we quoted in our Mishnah, right? The question is once the sale has been done, can it be is it disqualified? Fine. So Tanya Amr Chanina ben Akavya. Chanina ben Akavya says the following: Lo kach heishivan Rav Gamliel lechachamim. This is not essential. This is not what Rav Gamliel said back to the chachamim. Ela kach heishivan This is what he responded. Lo imamartem benisua shekein baila zakev imitziyasa b'maisiya deha ubefarsin areha. Tomubar Rusa, Shein Baila Zakai Lob Mitsiyasa Vamasia Deha Vloba Farsidareha. Right? So Rechanan ibn Akiva just says, by the way, the response of Rechanan ibn Akiva is very different. I mean, initially we have the response of your Baal goes, I'm already embarrassed about the later case. You're gonna bother me about the early case? It's a little more specific type of response. Right? So what's Rechanan ibn saying to the Chachamim? He's saying, well, wait a second, right? These cases are not comparable, right? And what is he saying? Meaning, you're going to ask me a kasha about a nisua. You're saying, what do you mean? They're both married. One's an arusa, one's a nisua. He says, what do you mean? Arusa and nisua is different halachos, right? Meaning, you're going to say me about a nisua. Nisua, the husband can get her, if she finds something, he's zocha. If she goes to work, he gets the money. If she makes a nether, he can be made for nidarm. Right? But arusa, these halachos are not the same. That's not true. Right? When it comes to arusa, right, he doesn't get her mitzvah if she finds something. He doesn't get her maisedea, and he can't be made for nidarm. Right? So the point being, there's not necessarily a comparison between the two cases.
So are they arguing Diraisa and Dirabanan, or they're just arguing?
He's just saying, you said to me, what do you mean? Meaning, we already explained that we think that the conversation is a conversation about the Diabet, right? Not about the Hafizah. But now he's just saying, just by the way, I think you're reading the whole case wrong, in general, because he's just saying, that's not how I had the case recorded. Mm-hmm. I have a different response, right? And his response is, You're comparing apples and oranges, right? Iris and Yisuna are not. What do you mean? They're both married. I think they're both married, but it's not the same halachos, right? So why are you assuming? Why are you treating them just the same? It doesn't make any sense, right? So fine. So and that, but the point being, that's why he has a fair argument. Fine. So Amr lo Rebbe, machra, I should say, ad shala, right? To create a better the word la. So Amar lo Rebbe machra ad shelo nises for achakach machra mahu. Okay, so now Rebbe, so fine. Now we're asking a new question, right? So Rebbe said, what happens if she sells it before she had done nisuin, or she does nisuin and then she sells it? So mahu, what's the halacha? So Amar lo af zu mocheres v'noseres v'kayim. So they responded to him. It's fine. She can sell, and it's all good. So Amrlo, hove. So now this is a much more difficult case because this is already after nisuin. So Amrlo, hove zacha beisha lo yiske benachasim. So they said to him, "Well, I don't understand. We got married, right? So now we can't. The guy got married already. He can't be zochet her nachasim also. So Amlohem al chadashim aniboshin el shatem agagla leni wasani ayishanim. Right. So they respond again. What do you mean? We're already having a hard time with the last case, you know. But now you're going to attack me even on the earlier case. So the Gemara says, but here the Gemara is here to bring up a different problem. V'han antanan, but we have a different version of in our mission, a different case of how you understand Rav Gamliel or how you understand the case. V'han antanan ad shel nises v'nises Rav Gamliel omer imachar v'nasna kayim, right? Meaning we have. Our version is, again, that until she was, even if she was married, at the nisuin, that the mechira and the nesina are fine, and they work, right? How's that different than the way they're quoting it? Right, they have afzu mocheres v'nosenes v'kayam, and we have imachra v'nosna. So nosenes v'mocheres is l'chachila. Right, the way they're quoting it now is that it could be lechachili could do that. We have it as our mission is if she did it, it's fine. Again, back to the question lechachili b'diavad. Right, so there's a lot of this. There's a lot of discrepancies here in terms of how we understand this chachamim and Rav Gamliel back and forth. Fine. So how do we deal with this discrepancy? So Amar Rosvid Tani or Tani Mocheres no Senes v'Kayim. No problem. Just make them fit. Just edit it. Right? Take out your pencil and just fix it. You're right. They can make the they are the same. Again, it's not a joke. I mean, I said it as a joke. But the point being, you're right. It must be if there's a stira, it must be that we just have an editor's mistake. Right? How do you read it? So if Papa Amar Lokasha, no. Papa says no problem. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, I'll leave the Rabbi Gamliel. Ha Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva, I'll leave the Rabbi Gamliel. Depends who's quoting Rabbi Gamliel. As we know, we've seen a lot of different ways of quoting Rabbi Gamliel. So no problem. That's not a machlokas. Or it is a machlokas, but it's not a stira per se. It's different opinions in terms of how you understand Rabbi Gamliel. We know that we have different opinions, so not such a big deal. Fine. But the question is, where is it from? Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya ki Beis Shammai? Is Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya holik Beis Shammai? Is that really going to be true? So, basically point being, no one holds like Beis Shammai. We never line up on Beis Shammai side. If you don't do that. So hachikya amar lo nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel adavar zeh. No problem. Also, the Mishnah really says that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agreed on this one also. And that's why you don't have Rabbi Chanina in the end of the day, passing like Beis Shammai. So again, you have a couple of edits here that make things make more sense. Fine. But again, the edits to make things more make sense, because otherwise the stiras don't make sense. And that's why, they're willing to make those edits. Fine. Okay. More cases. Rav Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel the Amrei Tarvayu, Bein Shenafu La Nechasim Achlo Nis Arsa, Bein Shenafu La Nechasim Mishin Nis Arsa, Vinises, Habam Motzim Yad Lekuchos. Oh, okay. So this is a very different way of reading the case, right? So Rav and Shmuel, they both said that it doesn't matter whether she received these Nechasim before she was, had Erisin even, or if she received them once she had already done Erisin. And then, but what happens afterward? And meaning whether she got it before Erison or not, meaning even if she got the items before anything had happened, no kiddushin at all, right? But then nises, and then she does nisuin, haba motzim yad lekuchos. Right. So then, if she gets married for real, they have nisuin, the husband can go collect whatever she sells. He can just come take it back, right? Come on, who's that like? The Lord Rabbi Yehuda, the Lord Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, but it's like neither opinion. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, who both had said that with the Yevid, at least, the end of the sale would be fine, would be good. So answer the Gemara, no, inu the Amrei Rabbi Seinu. Okay, no, the Rabbi Shmuel hold like Rabbi Seinu. Why? The Sanya, Rabbi Seinu, Chazur Venimnu, Bein Shenafla Shalom Nitzis Ares, O Bein Shenafla Mishnis Arsa, Venises, Haba Motzim Yalakuchos. Okay, that at the end of the day, the Rabbi Seinu, wherever the Rabbi Seinu are exactly, they said that they came out more machmir. And we don't care when she got it. Doesn't matter if she's already done nisuin. Any sale after nisuin is going to be null and void. I shouldn't say null and void. It's not clear if it's null and void. Because if the husband doesn't come and collect, it could be that the sale is still, like, the people get to keep it, right? But at the very least, he can go get it, right? He can go get it. The husband can go pick it. Can go be motzi miyad lekuchos. Again, I want to be. I don't know if that means it's a good child. Like, does that mean that if they find out about it, would they have to return it? You know what I mean? Is it mamish a sale that's null and void, or does it just mean that he has the rishus if he wants to go ahead and collect? And if he doesn't go, so he was mochel or something. You know, but either way, he has the rishus if he wants to go and collect those.
But if he is going, definitely nullifying the
yes
sale.
Yeah, it does sound like that. It does sound like that. Yeah. Just by the way, you're looking for the psak. If you look all the way back in the Mishnah, if you flip back on the fourth line and fifth line, right, we have Nafla Mishnis Arsa, Beisham Omrim Timkor, Beis Hila Omrim Lodimkor, Elu Elu Modim Shim Machar Vanasna Kayam. Right. So you have the little bays there, right? On top of She'e Machra. On the Aleph also, on Beis Hillel, she shouldn't sell it. But if she does, Mishnah is Arsa, she shouldn't sell it. But if she does, the Mechar is Kayim, which is interesting. So it looks like we paskin like the original version that we have from our Mishnah, not necessarily like the Rabbi Seinu, according to this at least. But anyways, okay. All right. Okay, so let's keep understanding more pieces of our Mishnah here. Mishanises elu ve'elu modim. Right. So again, we had said that once they had nisuin, so everybody agrees.
You could take them away.
Yes. And by the way, to be clear, the end of that was talking about before Arison, etc. But this is now talking about it for Nisuin. So we had said that once Nisuin happens, they both agree that if she sold them, that the husband can come collect and take it back. Okay, so lema tanina litakanas usha. So our Mishnah sounds like takanas usha. Dam Yosi, usha is a place. Dam Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, beusha hiskinu. That in usha they made a takana ha'isha shemachra benichse milug. A woman who sells her nichse milug b'chayi ba'ala, with her husband's alive, umesa, and then she dies. Haba'al motzi b'yad lakuchos. Right, so meaning it sounds like this elu ve'elu modim, everyone agrees with this takanas usha, that if the woman sells things and then she dies, again, after she was already, sounds like already had done nisuin, her husband can go collect from the lekukos. So says Gemara, no, mas nisin bechayeha ulaperos. Takanas usha bagufa shalkarka ulachar misa. No, so the Mishnah to the Gemara says, it's not so fast. Our Mishnah was talking about why she was still alive, right? And the him going to collect was to collect the peros, yeah, presumably the peros, even the peros, or maybe only the peros.
Right, the other way, right?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Right, he's only entitled Maluk properties. He's only entitled to the
peros,
to the income,
while she's still alive.
That's why this whole like machlokas in the beginning is,
yeah.
Like I think that's what right the machlokas is getting to is how much power should he really have? Why couldn't you let the sale go forward?
Because nichsem luk don't belong to him.
Right, he only gets the income from.
Right. Very good. Good. So this is a very.
But after she dies, the nichsem luk goes to him.
After she dies, he's yorish. He's yorish.
Only if she dies, or there's a divorce. But
then he's yorish them if she dies. Right. But you're right. You're right. This is a very good point because this helps us, I think, expand our understanding a little bit better. That's a very good point. Perhaps we should mention way in the beginning, but this is a good point, right? So, meaning the Mishnah, the whole machlokas here, or the whole question here, like you said, is that nichsei mulug, property she brings into the marriage, is by definition property that doesn't really belong to him, right? It's not part of the dowry. It's not part of any of those other things that he now. It's not maisei deha, money that she makes once they're married, right? So therefore, it makes sense that it's not so simple that you you just hand it over to him, and therefore. The question becomes, how much can he collect? And you're right. And the point being, so this distinction that the Gemara makes here is very important. So masnisin bechayeh uleperos, meaning what we're saying that if a husband can go collect is that while she's still alive, even as the chiddush, he can go collect the peros from the people from who had bought the property from her.
Right. Theoretically, like even if you let the sale go forward, you could have taken the money from that sale, invested it in something. He reaps.
He can come take it.
And whatever happens afterwards,
you want to hold on to the right. You want to hold on to the principal. That's fine.
To upend the whole sale.
Right. I can just come, but I can come keep collecting the peros because the peros originally would have been mine as the husband.
People make investments like that all the time. You get the income stream from something. Is that in and of itself is another.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. Yes. It's a very good point. Good. Fine. So the point being, so the Gemara says, but the point is, the Gemara says it's not the same, right? Because the Mishnah is bechayei uleperos, right? The Mishnah is talking about they're still alive, right? While she's still alive, and that he can still go collect the peros if the sale was made after nisuin, right? But the takanas usha was with the karka itself, right? The principle, like we were talking about, the gufish al karka ula achramisa, on the point being that after she dies, he can actually go collect everything. Correct. Excellent. Good. I'm glad we think these little lines, they're just little details. It's actually the whole point. So it's very helpful. Good. Okay. And Rav Shimon cholek bein nechasim. So Rav Shimon made a distinction, right? He made a distinction between different types of nechasim, and he made a distinction between nechasim that are yiduin labal, the husband knows about it, and nechasim that he's not yiduin labal. And the Gemara's want to know, what does that mean? So it says the Gemara, Elohein yiduin ve'elohein she'en yiduin. What are things that he knows about and doesn't know about, meaning we think that should be pretty obvious. It should be the ones that he knows about and doesn't know about. You just defined it. So what are you talking about? So Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Yiduin mi karkai, she'en yiduin mi tatalin. Right. So this is a distinction we see often, that yiduin means karka, and en yiduin means mitatalin, movable items. Because again, maybe that he doesn't know what they are, but they're more transitory. They can move, they can be shifted, they can go from place to place, etc. That's one possibility. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and the point being that Yiduin, that the Yiduin you're not able to sell, but the Einan Yiduin she would be allowed to sell, right? Right. How you do in the Baal lo timkor v'machan v'nas na batel. You should, you do and you should not sell. And if you do, it's batel. But in you doing, you shouldn't sell. But if you did, that the sale is kind. Fine. So maybe that's the difference between karka and metal. Fine. If Yochan Amar elu ve'elu you doing. Hey, no, those are both called you doing. Ve'elu him she ain't you doing. What's ain't you doing? Kol she yosheves kan v'naflu non nachasim v'nedina sayam. No, the difference is, what if she is sitting in one place? She's living in one place, and the nachasim came from Medina Siyam, meaning they're not Yiduin in the sense that they came from across the world, and that's how she received them, and that would make them quote Einan Yiduin in such a case. And Tani Nam Yachi Elohim she Einan Yiduin Kol Shoshevus Kan V'Naflu Dan Nachasim Medina Siyam. Right. So again, so Einan Yiduin would mean again this the Brisa supports this idea that it falls from Medina Siyam. The one thing that I think we just I think would be interesting to know is who cares that it came from Medina Sayyam? Right, why does that matter? Why is the fact that it's from Medina Sayyam?
I guess
she says no about it. So she must know about it. Does she find out and he doesn't know?
Or he doesn't.
Yeah, but who only finds out? Yeah, if it's Medina Sayyam, she doesn't know about it either. So it must be that something that she finds out about
and he doesn't know.
That's what it says over there? No, yeah.
Since the ancestors lived far away, we can assume the husband was unaware of his holding and did not marry her with the expectation of someday being able to use them.
Meaning it happened far, far away that she knows about, but he has no way of ever...
She owns swampland and wherever that
and he doesn't know.
He doesn't know about it. He doesn't know that's an
option. The first distinction is real estate is real estate. Everybody knows real estate. Presumably there's like a chazak that people
right. know. Real estate people know about more than... That's not the people know.
But even if it's real estate, if it's...
But if it's very far away, he has no way of knowing about it. She keeps that secret. And that's mamish, ain't any doing.
And when he came into marriage, he had no expectation.
So it's ain't any doing for real. And that's the difference. Okay. All right, shkoyach. All right, so we'll pick up Iron Test next week.